episode number 188.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
I'm Jason.
And as you can tell from our opening, title of the show, I guess we're just not upset, but...
We're just dying.
We're dying over here. We're waiting for these cars to hit the dealerships, and it's taking forever.
You know, like I said before,
The holdup is here.
Well, you know, we've dealt with delays. Well, delays that... On our end, you know, what seems like it's taken forever, all the way through this process over the past 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, and like I always say, the big wheels turn slow, but it's so close. You know, I mean, you know.
We got reports of car haulers going down M59 here, loaded with Camaros, going to God knows where they're sitting in a lot.
Yeah, well, I think they're, they're so close and yet so far.
Yeah.
So, yeah, whatever's happening. So in the meantime,
while we're waiting,
we can talk about, you know, the usual cool Camaro goodness.
Yeah,
like
because a lot of magazines are getting their hands on this car, so all their reviews are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So
and the reviews are great, except for there's this one
that moron in San Francisco.
The guy just didn't get
it. I'm not even going to acknowledge the person.
Yeah. Didn't we talk
about
that in the previous show?
Yeah, it's politically driven. It's not nothing. It's not an automotive review.
It's a political statement that's disguised as a car review.
Yeah.
And the guy even admitted it when one of the site members emailed him. The guy pretty much attacked him. It was really juvenile. It was just terrible. But the real reviews from real car review people.
Sources.
Yeah. Are overall glowing. There's really... not much of a common thread. Sometimes they say that the steering is a little heavy.
Yeah.
But, you know, that can always be fixed.
I guess.
But other reviews say it's spot on. There's a terrific review by Autoblog that's just came out. I think it's my favorite so far. There's a little run-in with the police, but it was a friendly run-in. In fact, they actually encouraged them to have some fun.
That's funny.
You know, I've been compiling a list of the automotive journalism and whatnot reviews. Ever since it was just Camaro concept reviews from Chris, you and I,
yeah,
when we drove
the
concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's stuck to the top of the 2010 Camaro News Sightings and Pictures and Multimedia Forum called a listing of Camaro reviews.
And you just go in there and just click on them all and just read them all.
Yeah, I try to update them as much as possible. And if anybody sees a review or knows of a review, because there's a lot of them out there that isn't in that list, just post in that thread. Say, hey, here's another one, and I'll be sure to add it to the first one.
Cool.
That Autoblog review is great. I really like it. I don't know what it was about it. It was just, I think it was called One Night Stand with the Camaro or something like that. But check it out. The reviews are coming in, and they're looking good.
Yeah.
What else is going on?
Well, we keep getting emails about the Z28.
Yeah, that's a hot topic still.
And I don't know if it has to be somewhat related to our site being called CamaroZ28.com. So, obviously, when you do a search for a Z28, we're right at the top in Google rankings.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, they just go right to the contact us and don't even bother reading the site.
Yeah, reading the helpful hints of the contact page to say,
Maybe we should add that into the FAQ.
Yeah. Yeah,
there is no Z28 for 2010.
not currently scheduled for regular start of production, which probably means, for 2010. But that doesn't mean that it won't happen.
Right, as we've said over and over and over and over again.
It's good that people know. I wonder how we come up when they search for Camaro SS, because we're also CamaroSS.com.
Oh, we're number one.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, we're a real Camaro site run by real enthusiasts, so why wouldn't we be? But... So, yeah, the Z28, for all those who are wondering, and evidently there's a lot out there, and that's okay. On the shelf, on hold, we'll see. GM's got to play nice and put on a dog and pony show for the situation that they're in and the people that are looking at them. No big deal, because we got a 426 horsepower Camaro no Z28 in a fourth gen area was ever made even close to that. So, I know. You know, don't worry about the name. Worry about the fun and getting your car. And if you haven't gotten down to your dealership, just find one that'll treat you right and get your order in while you can. Because demand is very, very high for these and refuse Camaro markups.
Of course.
And I was reading. Where is it here? I got the board up here. John Moss is still in the car game.
Yeah.
You know, he retired a couple, 3 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I see him at the grocery store every now and then here.
Do you still see him?
Yeah. He must live close to me. Yeah. I see him every now and then.
We met him a couple times. Terrific guy. You know, really put out
tall some dude.
Great cars. Yeah. Always made me think of Fred Gwynn a little bit.
Yeah?
Yeah, just a little. Of course, it could have been because I watched My Cousin Vinny last night.
Oh.
The two Utes.
The two Utes.
He's working with Fessler. I don't know if it's... I'm a little unfamiliar with him. Chris Fessler is a very well-respected and well-known custom car builder. And he's working with John Moss on a custom 2010 Camaro that I guess he's going to be offering as a turnkey package.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice,
and nice. It's a good-looking car. I guess
I like the hideaway headlights.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing that really gets me is that everybody wants those hideaway headlights. Well, GM can't do it for crash reasons and whatnot.
Obviously.
But there's nothing... We said this before. There's nothing that the aftermarket can't cure. So, Chris, you're going to post a link to the thread.
Sure, I'll put it in the show notes, yeah.
Okay, it's really cool. We got a friend of Chris Fessler who's a member of the site, and he kind of is the eyes and ears of the Fessler project. So he's kind of helping fill in the information because a lot of people have questions about this car. It looks really, really cool. You check out the website, and they got some cool plans, man. I can't wait to see it in real life.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to be one of many doing lots of turnkey projects for the Camaro.
That's right. That's right, we've talked about a couple in the past, and there's probably
I'm sure
more.
SLP will be in the game. Mm-hmm. I'm sure, what's his name down in Georgia?
Hennessy?
No, not Hennessy.
Oh, GMMG.
GMMG,
we talked about Hennessy last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, GMMG, and, well, you know, I guess that, you know, I'm getting my car from Tom Henry Chevrolet, and mm-hmm. He's got a package planned. I don't even know the details
sure
myself.
Does. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe I'll be
sporting. I'm sure Berger probably is going to work with GMMG to do another vehicle.
Yep. We'll see who works with who and who puts out what. And so, you know, just because there's a delay doesn't mean you could be discouraged. Where there's a lot of stuff going on, and it's the wheels are still turning, just maybe a little slower than what we want.
Right.
So, you know, having said that, I got this. I got this issue of Auto Week. I got a subscription. Auto Week's a pretty cool magazine. I like reading it, and there's like a little column, a little short little column that I want to read.
Okay.
But before I do,
yeah,
let's make this portion of the CamaroZ28.com podcast brought to you by
Magnaflow at Magnaflow.com. And you know, I was going to search again on Magnaflow's website to see if they had updated it with some sound clips of the 2010 Camaro. Unfortunately, they haven't yet. All the part numbers are there, and you can order their stuff or. But I found a link where you can get a free catback exhaust.
I'm in.
You ready for this?
Okay, go ahead.
It says interested in a free product for participation in our consumer development program. We are offering a catback and direct fit exhaust products. Basically, here's their terms and conditions. It's got to be nearly stock. They'll need the vehicle for a minimum of 5 working days for taking measurements, prototyping, and final installation. And they would provide you with a free rental car.
What vehicle are they looking for, Chris?
I believe a Camaro, but I think it's for any vehicle.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be required to bring your car to their headquarters in Rancho Santa Margarita, California during normal business hours. And there's a link there to fill out the form. So I'm going to post that in the show notes. And any of you guys out there in California looking for a free exhaust system near Magnaflow, hey, might be a good opportunity for you.
Leave your car with them for 5 days, get a rental car, and
hey, what a good deal.
Cool. You know, top-end companies like that, when they need cars for R&D, they take very good care of them.
Yeah, I believe it.
They don't just, you know, trash them and cover them with fingerprints and grease and everything. So here's this AutoWeek article. Thanks to Magnaflow.com, by the way. This is by Corey Farley, who's a writer here He has a column called Travels with Farley in Auto Week magazine. Now, I'm sure we have somebody from Auto Week listening. And if it's not okay that I read these in their entirety, although it's rather brief, just shoot us an email and let us know. I think it's okay, though, because I want to comment on this. And here's what Corey Farley writes. It's called Street Racing Stupidity. And he writes, whispering towards Sacramento the other day at 70 miles per hour, I was rocked by a Honda Accord passing at 110. That's a guess. That's a guess, excuse me. He was going a lot faster than I was, though.
In an Accord?
In it, well, that's what it says.
Oh, okay.
I held my course. If you're going to be a chicane, be a predictable one. A blink later, a Subaru WRX slammed and passed and pulled away after the Honda. I'm not without sin in the area of street racing, but I'm going to cast a stone anyway. There's a difference between herring your Mazda Miata down a mountain after a tuner Honda Civic and doing a triple-digit slalom through traffic. The first is reasonably safe fun. The second can be suicide, which, in a vacuum, I'd say is up to the participants. Often, though, the innocent get jammed up with the guilty, as when an alleged racer killed two members of the Tongan royal family near San Francisco in 2006. Street racing isn't new. One of the first stories I did for a magazine back in 1974 was on a group of racers near Los Angeles, but they ran at night on a remote road and made at least a token attempt to keep civilians clear. And he quotes, "I can't stop you, sir, but there are going to be two cars coming by here awfully fast," as an example. That's not the case now. I see races day and night, and traffic from sparse to near gridlock involving cars that sometimes look like examples from CarCrafts magazine Book of Don'ts. The coffee can exhaust may be the best engineered piece of the puzzle, and they're moving. In my MGB days, we thought 80 miles per hour was the brink of disaster, and in an MGB, it might have been. Today, I was cruising steadily at near that, and I'm bracketed by cars doing 30 miles per hour to 40 miles per hour more. When people find out that I'm a professional automotive journalist, they sometimes talk about driving. A surprising number of them admit that they are fearful behind the wheel, and they ask how I overcame that. I tell them truthfully, I've never been in a driving situation that scared me. I've had training, I pay attention, and I try to anticipate trouble. If you're in control, what's to be afraid of? The question's still valid, but the premise of control may not be. When a noticeable number of people think it's okay to use the highways at genuine racing speed, it's time for a crackdown. I never thought I'd say this, but jail time? It's an interesting article.
Yeah.
And I'm with the guy. I am not without sin, and most of our listeners probably aren't either.
I've been known to, you know, exceed the posted speed limit once in a while.
Yeah. On the
public streets.
Yeah, or public highways when there's nobody mm-hmm. else around.
Yes.
When if you're going to be a victim of your own stupidity, you're going to be the only victim.
Right.
Not taking out a family or you know, much less your buddy next to you or something. I mean, he's got a good point. Jail time? Yeah. Jail time?
Jail time.
What do you think?
I don't know. What do you guys think out there? Let us know.
I really want to know what people's thoughts are on this. So here's how to get a hold of us.
To stay informed and in touch with the Camaro Z28.com crew, go to the message boards at CamaroZ28.com. If you have a question for the podcast, call the Camaro Z28.com voicemail hotline. The number is 586-486-3182. That's 586-486-3182.
Okay, now comes a segment on our show where we go to voicemails and emails. And we have two emails and three voicemails this week. So let's rotate here. Let's do an email, and then we'll do a voicemail, and then we'll give away something cool, okay?
Yeah, sounds good. Okay. Why don't you kick it off? I just got done reading.
Okay. This one comes to us from Kevin, Fenwick Hockey 65 on the board. Hockey fan.
All right.
Love it.
All right.
Hey, Chris and Jason. I know you guys aren't giving out prizes for emails, but I'm horrible at speaking on the phone unless I'm arguing with some customer service representative. So you're getting an email instead. Just wanted to tell you guys that I had the opportunity to spend some time with Scott Settlemyer's Camaro 2SS RS yesterday, courtesy of Three on the message boards, who's driving it down to Florida with his wife. As I'm sure you already know, it's an amazing car. For me, the interior was perfectly fine. Yes, there was hard plastic, but it was textured and dampened enough so it didn't look and feel so cheap. Also, I'm still amazed just how quiet the interior is while driving. GM did a great job with this car. I know a lot of people are going to be happy when they get them. And responding to something from a while back, there are actually plenty of stock fourth gens around here in Cincinnati. Third gens are also common, especially since they were built just down the highway at the Norwood Assembly Plant, where my dad actually worked building them. Keep up the good work, and thanks for supporting GM. Kevin.
Awesome email.
Yeah.
That would have made a prize-winning phone call, buddy.
I know. I know. And this yellow SS, 2SS that he's talking about is the one you and I drove. So Scott lent it to three to drive down to Florida.
Cool.
So, yeah, yeah.
That's the car we drove.
It is quiet.
Your butt was where our butt was. We shared butt space. Yeah, so that's one of the things that anybody will notice when they drive, especially if they came from a previous generation Camaro. They're going to be driving around going, why is it so quiet in here?
I know.
So, but you can still hear the exhaust note good enough.
I know.
And, you know, if it's not loud enough, well, all F-body guys will make it loud enough. Well, I've got this email here. And this one's kind of long. I'm going to do a lot of reading here today, I guess. What was it? 3 episodes ago, BearZ28 called in and had a brief mentioning about, was this him?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, about street racing. Another
kind of ties into the magazine article does, read, huh?
And I'll hold my comments about that article until after we hear somebody else's.
Okay.
here we go. BearZ28. My story of getting busted for street racing. He says, hey guys, here's my story. Kind of long. Some of you know I have a 2000 Camaro Z28, heads cam, full induction, full suspension, full exhaust, trans, clutch, brakes, wheels, tires, it works. I hail from a small town in southern New Mexico, but I'm originally from Connecticut. I was fairly new to the area back around 2005. I occasionally hung out with some local Sonic drive-thrus, at one of the local Sonic drive-thrus, and I met up with a guy who had a gutted and dragged Dodge Demon with a fairly stock engine, another guy with a 2005 GTO with a new, at the time, LS2, an LT1 Firebird with cutouts, a white LT1 Camaro, and an older guy with a black LT1 Camaro. The guy in the Demon talked to the guy in the GTO into racing. He said if he, the GTO, falls through, that he wanted to race me. We headed out to the sticks at about 9:30, 10 p.m. Again, remote area, at night, not in traffic. They had me mark off a quarter mile with my car's headlights. I sat on the side road with my headlights on. They raced past me at an unusually slow speed. Apparently, the fuel pump cut out on the Demon. I looked towards the finish line and saw flashing red strobes and thought, cops. I looked toward the starting line and saw the same thing and thought, cops. I was pretty calm about it as I felt I wasn't racing and that thought it would be okay. I made the move to drive down towards the starting line. I'm honest. If I would have ran, they would have heard it and I probably would have had made things much worse. I got down there, and the police headed back up towards the end of the street and met with the other officers and drivers. We got up there. One of the officers took my information, and I stated I wasn't racing. He said it didn't matter. That's when I started getting scared. They pulled us out of the vehicles and stated that there was a minor involved with our illegal street racing. The white Camaro LT1 driver was 17, apparently. The GTO guy, myself, and a couple others were active duty military at the time, and the offer stated that since there was a minor involved, that we would be convicted of a level 4 felony, which would then mean a court-martial and military prison time for the military folk involved.
Ouch.
He says, I won't lie. I was scared and had a cold sweat and a sinking feeling in my stomach. The state police and county sheriffs that were there ended up letting us go with a warning. I think they didn't want to end 5 military careers. But they stated that all of us were now flagged by the New Mexico State Police for illegal street racing, and if we were caught again, it's instant jail time. Now, here's the key point of this whole message.
Okay.
He says, I almost sold the car after that. I was scared crapless. I had no passion to drive at all. For the next 3 months or so, I felt like every cop was out there to ruin my and was going to ruin my life. I was living in fear, honestly. Shortly after, I was deployed to Afghanistan for 8 months. It took that deployment for me to get over what happened, but it's still a memory. I, now, in no way, shape, or form involve myself with organized street racing. It's just too risky. That was my first and last time. Spur of the moment is one thing, but I don't do it very often, and not in town. This car is too fast for this small town. I don't really hang out at that Sonic anymore. Since then, too many darn kids with rice burners making an ass out of themselves and wanting to race me. I know I have the power, but I don't need it to use it to prove something. One last thing. I was watching Pastime on Speed a couple weeks ago. They had one of the shows from Roswell, New Mexico at Area 51 Dragway. Two of the contestants had Dodge Demons lined up for the combo round. One of them was the same kid, same car that I was busted street racing with. White Demon, short kid with dark skin. He ran a 1329. I knew I would have had him, and I didn't race him.
Well, it sounds like the moral of the story is take it to the track.
Well, yeah, and not to mention, you know, if you're going to do something, after I get my Camaro, I don't want to be afraid to drive it. I don't want to hate the car because of the fear of making a mistake.
Right.
You know, you don't put yourself in that situation. And he made a good point there. You know, he's got plenty of power in this car. It's clear. He's got a fast car.
Right.
And like I always say, and this is actually in my Facebook profile, if I got the biggest gun in the bar, I don't need to wave it around.
Right.
And common sense, man. Use common sense. I would hate to hate my car. Yeah. I would hate to lose my car or my life.
Or your career.
So, yeah. Oh, right. You know, there's so much to lose off. It's fun. You know, we all know it's fun. We all know it's dangerous. So govern yourself accordingly. Great, great email. And there's a lesson in there. We don't mean to preach or anything like that. No. You know, we all want to have fun. But, man, take it from somebody who knows and almost lost it all.
Thanks, Bear. Thanks for that email.
That was great.
Yeah. You want to take a drink of your water? You've been reading there for quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm dying here. So now I'm going to shut up, and we're going to let our listeners do the talking,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. We're going to go to the voicemails now, and we've got three of them.
Hey, Chris and Jason, what's up, man? This is FB1 from the boards. Great show, guys. I just wanted to call that. Actually, I had a really good time right now. I just came back from sitting in an orange, Inferno orange metallic V6 RS car. It wasn't at an auto show. I'm actually located here in Southern California, and it was actually a captured test suite vehicle. It was actually given to a gentleman who worked for Kelly Blue Book. He was just given the car by General Motors to actually test out the vehicles just for early reviews and whatnot. So what happened was I was actually at school, and my friend gives me a call telling me that my dream car is where he's eating at. So I meet up with him where the orange car is, and I'm just sticking out to see who the drivers are. And as soon as the drivers come and open the trunk, actually the driver was the guy from Kelly Blue Book, and he had his whole family with him. And I just kind of introduced myself. I told him that I had part of like four different Camaro forums, and I was just my dream car, and he was really nice enough to let me in. Good thing is it's a beautiful car. People do not have to worry about the fact that it's being cheap from the inside in any way. Leather was beautiful. It was very nice to sit in. The only gripe I may have is probably the visibility. I didn't get much chance to actually observe it, but whatever I saw, I mean, it was clear, but it could have been better. But that's not going to, you know, that's not going to influence my decision anyway in purchasing the car later on. But yeah, man, it was an IOM car with a RS and a V6. And man, this car is going to be a winner. And the good thing is, for those who are purchasing the vehicle, you guys got nothing to worry about. It's because the guy said that the car is going to hold up its value after the purchase. So, and he really loved it. He said that the 300 horsepower was enough for daily driving, and he was just going to get and he was seriously considering buying a SS. They had the SS actually at the Kelly Blue Book place where, you know, the actual place is located. They're reviewing that as well. But he says that this is one of the best cars he's ever driven from GM, and he really, really loves it. And from what I saw and from what I sat in and everything, it's just perfectly, I'm speechless. I just can't even say, you know, it's just a beautiful car. Well, anyway, talk to you soon, guys. Later.
See, more and more people are seeing these on the street now. And then, you know, this guy was from Kelly Blue Book.
And he said it's one of the best cars he's driven that GM has built.
Yeah.
And he's even thinking about buying one himself. Out of the sea of cars, this guy probably gets to drive. And he says he's going to buy one of these. Great voicemail.
I know. Great voicemail. Let's go on to the next one here.
Hey, guys. It's Rob again. I actually just joined the board recently. Fire Falcon 97. Apparently, I'd gone in there a few years ago, just forgot about it, and found it through the podcast again. I've called before. Just calling to let you guys know that the Roger Dean Chevrolet dealership in my neighborhood is having a Camaro unveiling party May 6th, I believe. I don't have the paper on me right now, but it's May 6th, I think. Really excited about the car, but can't get it for about another year until I get a better paying job. But just wondering if any other dealerships around there are doing any kind of special events, kind of like that. Thanks a lot. Love the podcast. Bye.
I'm sure there is more dealerships doing events around the Camaro. We talked about one a couple weeks ago that we posted in the show notes as well. The NEOCC.
Yeah.
Do any event?
Yeah.
And I think Rick Hendrick was doing one too to unveil his two cars that he got number one and number two.
Yeah, that's right.
So
check the previous episodes.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago.
For that. So he said that's May 6th.
May 6th, yep, unveiling.
If my date is right, that's 2 days after my car gets done.
Can't wait.
Arg! Good voicemail. Thank you very much for the heads up on that. Definitely post it in the Camaro forums.
Absolutely. Okay, we got one more to go here.
All right.
Hey, Chris, Jason, this is Mauricio, Firehawk 2003 on the forums. First-time caller, been pretty much a lurker since my join date back in 03. Probably the longest lurker on the forums. Hopefully that'll change going forward. I actually have two questions for you guys involving the F-Bot. I have a 2000 Pontiac Trans Am, almost completely stock with only 62,000 miles auto. My question is, seeing as how there's probably not the possibility of another one coming off the line, would you all keep that or would you all sell it for a fifth gen? See, I'm kind of hard pressed to do it, but kind of want to see my options. My second question would regard Jason's April Fool's joke as far as selling his SS for a Z06. I've kind of driven the Z06 already, and I just blew me out of the water. If you guys had to choose between the two, as far as performance goes, would y'all still pick the Camaro, or would you all sway over the Z06? Just want to get you guys' feedback on that. Listen to the podcast every week. Never miss it, man. Keep up the good job, and see you guys on the flip side.
Well, thanks for that email, Mauricio.
Voicemail. I screwed it
email.
Up. Now you finally screwed it up.
Yeah.
Well, what was the first part? Oh, should he get rid of his Firebird?
Yeah, it's Firehawk. 2000 Firehawk, he said?
We get this one asked a lot.
Yeah.
And there's no clear-cut answer, but there's one question that I think you need to ask yourself. Do you like the car?
Yeah.
If you don't feel the love for it like you used to, you want to be tempted by the fruit of another? Like the
then
old
sell it and get a fifth gen.
Sell it and get a fifth gen. I mean, I did, and it was difficult, but I knew there was no question that what was coming down the line I would probably enjoy better. But not everybody's the same.
No.
You know, can you swing both? Keep both, man. That's the answer. But if you can only have one or the other, you know, don't make a hasty decision because you might regret it one way or another.
I say if you can afford them both, keep both of
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. But yeah. If you can't, you got to figure out.
Get
you know,
the fifth gen.
Yeah. I would, well, for me, of course, but everybody's so different.
Yeah.
Good luck on that. Let us know what your decision is. Just call back and let us know. We love hearing from everybody.
Second part of his question.
Oh, my April Fool's gag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you really sell your car for a Z06?
It has nothing to do with horsepower.
No.
It has nothing to do with horsepower. Look, I could build an 800 horsepower Mustang LX with a 5-liter for probably 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's about numbers and going super fast at the drag strip, oh yeah, there's better solutions than a Camaro, including the Z06.
Yeah.
But the Camaro is, to me, is more than the numbers that are associated with the engine. I mean, sure, if it was a 4-cylinder with 126 horsepower like the old Cavalier Z24s in the 80s, you know, or whatever, then, you know, it might not have that same feel, but it does. And it has enough to make it a Camaro. It is what a Camaro should be. And that's why I am Camaro.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've both driven Z06s.
Yeah.
They're phenomenal.
Oh, they're incredibly performing cars.
Yeah.
But it's not a Camaro.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, you
look. I sold my Vette last month. It's not a Camaro.
That's right.
The only reason why I bought the Vette was because there was no Camaro. And now there is a Camaro. I sold it.
Yep. Goodbye. No love lost, right? Just
no.
Just,
well,
just,
I mean, yeah, it was a nice car. It was a great car. But as I've said in the past, I'm not a Corvette guy. I'm a Camaro guy.
Here's another way to put it. Married guys could understand this. I look at my wife, and that's my wife. I mean, come on. But then I look at Georgina Vaughn, who we got to hang out with there at SEMA, who's Miss Nevada, and now she's going to be in the Miss Universe pageant. And boy, that'd be a hell of a ride, but it's still not my wife. And no, she doesn't even listen to this. I'm saying that because it's true.
Oh, so yeah. Well, you never know.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, if I got put in that position, maybe. Sorry, honey. Your meatloaf sucks anyway.
Oh, boy.
All right. No, really, my wife has killer meatloaf.
Okay.
Anybody want the recipe, email me.
Okay.
So,
well, we got to give away a prize this week.
April Fool's gag, yeah. I made, just real quick, I made another entry in my blog about my car.
About your April Fool's gag?
No. It was another entry after that.
Yeah.
It's about Petters suspension. There's some good Petters info. Just head over to phantomss.com. If you haven't subscribed for email updates, it's a blog, so when I get updates, you'll get them immediately. Sign up. There's lots of cool stuff happening.
Yeah, you get
so
lots
excited.
Of spam.
You don't get any spam. It goes through Google, for God's sakes. Cut it out. So let's give away a prize.
Yes. What do you want to give away? Go into the vault. See what you got this week.
Oh, okay. Let me just, hold on. Do you remember the combination?
Yes.
Okay.
Good. 666.
Just like in the Marcellus Wallace briefcase. Never mind. Okay. Oh, I'm backing. Chris, can you hear me? Because I'm way deep in the vault here.
Yeah. What do you got this week?
Okay. Hold on. Let me grab this. Hold on. The last set of Camaro Anthology and Camaro Ads CDs.
Wow.
From High Tech Software. I really like this. I find myself referencing them a lot more and more. Cool stuff, great information. If you want to know what I'm talking about, go to htsoftware.com and just look for the Camaro section. Some really great data and pictures and screensavers and savers and videos and just everything about Camaro related in media and information and data. It's killer stuff and it's rather affordable. So check it out, htsoftware.com. And we're going to give it to
our first caller, who I believe was FK1 was his username.
I think so.
Yeah, email us at webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Include your name, your mailing address, and the phone number. And if you have a forum name, let us know what your forum name is. And
if it is indeed FK1.
Yeah, FK1. And we'll ship you out that Camaro Anthology for you to enjoy.
Yeah, and the Camaro Ads CD. You get two for one.
It's a deal.
You're going to love it. So thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in with that review about KBB. It's really cool to hear that journalists are actually taking it beyond the, I got to do this for my job, and they're actually making it personal.
Yeah.
So cool stuff. We got to wrap it up. I do want to end it with something. We were sent a request from somebody from MBI Publishing. They do motor books, including the Camaro Legend Reborn book.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
What they do is they're looking for particular pictures to include, I believe, on the cover of an upcoming book.
That's right, they are.
Called the 1993 to 2002 Camaro and Firebird Performance Handbook. And they're looking for a high-resolution picture, a photo of somebody working on a fourth-gen Camaro or Firebird. And so, you know, you can make yourself a little famous here if you got the right picture, or if you can take the right picture and get, you know, have the right quality for print. So all the details are actually in the site news and updates forum, the first forum on the board. Okay. And
you can go there and post a picture or something like that?
Well, we'll pass it on? There's contact information that they can just send
to
the person making the request there.
I think we'd like to see the picture too, don't you think?
I'd like to see the picture. I mean, if you send it, also post it so we can see it. But first send it and make sure that in your submission that you're a CamaroZ28.com member.
Yes.
So, cool stuff.
I'll post a link to that in the show notes as well.
Terrific. That's it. Another great episode, I think. We had some call-ins, some, even though we didn't have a whole lot of new information to talk about. Well, we had some. I guess that's it then. We got to get out of here.
Yep. Hope everybody had a happy Easter.
Yeah. And we will be back next week.
We'll see you then.
Thanks for listening to the CamaroZ28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to CamaroZ28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.
He's got nitrous oxide in his blood and a gas tank for a brain.